for the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. But it's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Now above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standing daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he hath said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us now hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see that the day is approaching. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you that from the Holy of Holies, which we have never seen, the Holy of Holies that's not on the earth in Jerusalem, but the one that exists eternally in heaven, even your abode, your place, has now been set in our midst, not in Jerusalem, not on this mountain, not in that place, not on College and Canon, not on First and Throckmorton, but in our hearts. Your throne is no longer far away. The Holy of Holies is no longer behind a veil. Through the flesh of Jesus Christ, because of his death on the cross, we now know that not only is the Holy of Holies close at hand, not only do we dwell in the Holy of Holies, but the Holy of Holies has become our life. We are now in full and complete and total communion, fellowship with God. And no one and nothing in all creation, past, present, or future, neither height nor depth, nothing, neither angel nor devil nor man, neither body nor soul nor spirit, nothing is able to separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord God. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Praise and glory and honor unto you, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Oh God, to stand in your holy presence and not to be struck down, to know that we can walk into the very Holy of Holies and abide and abide and abide and never be turned aside. Where all the majesty and glory and praise and honor is given not only to you, Lord God, but you share that. We're partakers of the divine nature. We are holy of holies. There is a curtain about us. People see in a mirror dimly, but we are that. We are that which you have given to us, which we have now become, even to clothe ourselves in the very nature of God, even to clothe ourselves in the heavenly garment. This has been given, and we have received it. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. During that 10-day of fasting, God gave me so many revelations. I don't know when I'll be able to share them, but I will, because I believe He gave them to me that I would share. And this is one that is so powerful. I've never understood the blood. I've never understood the blood. In the Greek, it's called chyma. I've never understood how powerful and how, if we could understand this alone, we would never again doubt. We would never again fear. We would never again falter. We would never again cease to grow. This alone, just this word in the Hebrew, it's called dam, like Adam, dam. It means red or blood. And this blood does so much. I've studied the blood before, but God gave me a revelation. This was not from study, but this is a revelation that He gave me, that the blood doesn't do everything. And I didn't know that. I did, but I never thought about it. There are some things that the blood will not do. And I realized that once when I heard this revelation, that that's what we need to know, is what the blood does so that what is not the blood may do what it needs to do. Because it's not the blood that changes the soul. You cannot be changed by the blood. You cannot be changed because you're born again. You cannot be changed because the blood has covered your sin. You cannot be changed because the blood has removed your guilt. You cannot be changed because you have a new heart. That is not to change your soul. That is to change your heart, your inner man. But when you understand that, when you understand that the blood is in the outer court, you will then travel with the blood into the Holy of Holies, where all change takes place. No change takes place because of the blood. The blood covers, but it doesn't remove. The blood covers your sin, but it doesn't remove it. You must go into the presence of God with sin. You cannot go into the presence of God without sin. Now, I've always thought that you had to go into the presence of God without sin. Because any man that has sin God's very light and presence and nature would kill him on the spot. You can't walk with God because you wouldn't be in agreement with God because God is pure. But I have good news for you. You must go into the presence of God with sin. You are only qualified if you have sin. You can't get into the presence of God without sin. I've often wondered how that worked, because in the outer court, the high priest would lean on this goat, and he would confess all the sins of the nation and his own sins, and then they would kill this goat, and he would lean heavily upon him. All the sins were upon that goat's neck. There was a yoke. Sort of the man would lean down on that goat, and he would just lean heavily on that goat, and the goat would just receive that, and he put real pressure on his neck, because he was physically putting a yoke or a bondage on that little goat. There was an innocent little goat, but it was the picture of Jesus receiving our sins upon him, taking our sins upon himself. And so the high priest, once a year, on the day of Yom Kippur, which was just a week or so ago, he would lean on this goat and then slit his throat afterward and take the blood of that goat and walk in to the Holy of Holies. And one time a year, he could do this, and he went through that veil. How, we don't know. But he went through that veil and went into the presence of God. And there, he took the blood and he sprinkled it on everything in there. It was all gold, as you know. He just put blood on everything. But before he did that, he had a white robe on, a very beautiful white linen robe. Took off all of his fancy garments on this day, the only day he did this. And he would sprinkle blood all over himself. And he put it all over the people. Put blood on everything. Everything was covered with blood. Why? Because the word atonement means to cover. And so this is how they would cover. They would cover by sprinkling the blood on everything. Out of this bowl that came from this one goat. This one. An innocent goat. The innocent one for the guilty. Just put the blood on. And the high priest, I often thought, if he had any sin in him, and he walked into the Holy of Holies of God, he would die. God would kill him on the spot. You remember many times in the Old Testament, people would touch the ark and they would die right on the spot. You know, it'd be like when I was a Lutheran, I'd heard that if you touched the altar without white gloves on, lightning would come down and get you. So I tried it. Didn't happen. But I'd heard that, you know, when you kind of growing up, you hear these stories that the altar ladies tell. So they always would go into this holy place behind the altar, you know. And the idea is a good one. The idea was to bring back again the sense of awe and worship and so on. But let me tell you something. That's a shadow. We've got the real thing. It's not a building with altars and pulpits and stuff like that. We don't need that. Now hear me. It's all right as a symbol, but people take it as more than a symbol when they go like that. God doesn't kill people for touching things. God's not in that business. That was the Old Testament. Something bad's going to happen to you if you go up there and you don't cross yourself or, you know, genuflect or sprinkle water on you. Do you know what I'm saying? That's nonsense. God doesn't like that. Now, I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you, truly, God doesn't want you to keep the law. And that's law, that's shadow, that's darkness. Don't take that stuff seriously. If you keep the law in one part, you got to keep the whole law. You can't just take circumcision and not have... God's not into that anymore. You know where it's all at. It's here in the heart. It's in this people. You see, when Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood, it was sprinkled on all his people. And we do that through the preaching of the word. As we preach the word, we're sprinkling. But it's spiritual now. It's not tied up in physical things. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's not tied up in physical things. But it's a spiritual truth. You see, that was a shadow. And some people like shadows rather than the light. But I don't want the shadows. I want the light. Amen?
Amen.
Let's turn on the lights. Because there's fear in darkness. There's fear in shadows. You know, when the children get afraid, we turn on the lights and say, everything's all right. Show them Jesus above their bed. It's all right. Jesus is here. Jesus is with you. Kirsten, remember we used to do that? Praise the Lord. Doesn't want to be embarrassed, do you? But we used to do that. We do that with Margaret, don't we? Sure. And they have that assurance that nothing is going to go wrong because Daddy and Mommy are there and the light's on. We have the light on now. We don't have to play in shadows anymore. We don't have to go back. But anyway, that high priest used to go into the Holy of Holies, and because they were afraid he might be killed, and nobody else could go in and get him if he's killed. You know, it'd be like getting electrocuted. You touch him, and you know, that kind of thing. So they tie a rope on the bottom of his leg. I've told you this before. They tie a rope on the bottom of his leg and put tinkle bells on the bottom of his dress there. I used to wear one of those. And they called you father and dressed you up like mother, you know. And he'd go in there tinkling, and so they knew he was still in there. They would listen, you know. The priests would be listening at the thing and say, he's still moving around in there. Tink, tink, tinkling, tink, tink, tinkling, you know. And if he would fall on the floor and die, and they would wait for hours and hours, they would have to pull him out. I didn't think it ever happened, but it could have. And that's why that rope was tied to his ankle. You know, he had one rope onto his ankle in case they had to pull him out of there, you know, see? That's probably how he got in there. We don't know. He probably got in by lifting up that heavy, heavy curtain and probably snuck under. But here's the thing. That curtain has now been removed. There's no more veil. Because we have looked. Now, you've got to get into this. God's done with religion. He wants us to know Him, the true and living God. And there is no curtain. There is no holy place. There are no walls. There's no outer court. There is nothing now separating us from the love of God. Nothing, 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 nothing. Isn't that exciting? So the symbol or the shadow we can understand, because I know psychologically that when I sin, I feel like God doesn't like me. I feel like I can't go into the presence of God. I feel like I've got to clean myself up first. I feel like if I just said, God, I love you, and then He saw me go out and sin or think a wrong thought, that I just can't go back and say and finish my sentence, I love you so much. I feel like I've got to do something to cleanse myself. Don't you feel that way? So there's a truth here that I understand, that these Jews got revealed from heaven, but it's something that all men understand. That there's a gap between you and God. Every other religion's built on that gap, on that curtain, on that veil. And they're working their way up the steps. You know, this is religion, these steps. As I'll tell you, these steps here are not for religious purposes. They're just to get me up so you can see me. That's it. In fact, I didn't even want to go up these steps when I first started. But anyway, these steps are the religious way of getting closer and closer to God. And many people thought that meant getting closer and closer to the minister. You know, some little kids have called me Jesus, you know, because they hear Jesus and God, and then they see everybody's looking toward that guy up front, and so they figure that's Jesus, you know. But there is no resemblance. If you mean me separated from you, but if you mean all Christians are saints, all Christians are holy of holies, all Christians are temple. Now, here's the exciting thing. Then you're right. God showed me this revelation. He said that the blood covers but does not remove. And that set me free. Because I realized, like that high priest who went into the presence of God, I thought to myself, he wasn't pure. How could he be? He wasn't even a Christian. He's just a Jew. And you know, I know what those Jews are like. They're just like, you know, moral, religious kind of people. How could that Jew get in there? I don't care how holy he looked. You know, Jews can look real holy, like we can do. Yeah, all of us can look real holy. And, you know, and the only thing that made him holy was the blood. The only reason that he could go in there and say, I'm acceptable, is not because he must have had tremors. If he walked in and knew that God would strike anybody dead who had no sin, you know, if they had any sin on them whatsoever, man, how could he walk in? I'll bet he really sprinkled. You know, he must have put lots of blood, just a little extra, you know. Because there's no way that I could ever cleanse myself. Luther used to do this. For 3 and 4 hours, he would confess all his sins to. He was completely clean. I mean, it would take him 3 and 4 hours. Most of the monks would go in for maybe 15 minutes, half an hour, maybe an hour if they were really spiritual. Luther would go in 3 and 4 hours. And he'd walk out of that confessional booth and think to himself, I'm clean. And then he'd think, no, that's pride. And he'd go back in again for another hour. You could never clean yourself, because the minute you thought you were clean, you'd have pride. And you'd have to go back in again. There is no way to ever do enough to say, God, I am now perfect. And the high priest knew that. He had to be perfect. So the thing that did it was the blood, the blood, the blood. Now, this is what's so exciting. If the blood covers but does not remove, I understand, because I have seen that I have sin in me, but I don't always get it erased. It's sometimes still there. Nevertheless, I have faith in the blood that says, God, you accept me right now. Now, I'm not saying I'm sinning in his presence. I'm saying there is sin, and I say, God, forgive me. I'm not saying I go in with sin uncovered. No, I cover it, but it's there. I'm aware of it. My thoughts are aware of it. My feelings are aware of it. I cannot go into God's presence and say, I have no thought of sin. My feelings are perfect. My behavior is just. I can't do that. I can't do that. I have tried. I've worked at that. I didn't even know it, but I know it now. I've actually worked at that. I've thought in the last 2 years that I have become a lot holier than I was before. I really thought I was getting a lot holier. You know, I actually thought people could begin to notice it. You know, whereas the people that used to know me, you know, praise the Lord, most of them are gone. So they couldn't stay around to remind everybody. But the new people, they didn't know me so well, and they just accepted me as wonderfully as I was appearing now. I really thought that. Not real consciously, but sort of, secretly. I was thinking, I'm getting a little bit better. And then I actually can go into God's presence because my thoughts are so pure, and my emotions are so happy and peaceful, and my desires are all clean and right. And my behavior is roughly so, but this is better than it used to be. And I would actually look forward to those moments when I could go in and really enjoy God. That is a lie from hell. That's a lie from hell. That thing, it may have been true that I maybe did have those kind of feelings and thoughts and so on and so forth, but it counts for nothing. You know what counts for something? The other day, when I had terrible thoughts, and when I had horrible emotions, and when I was this and that and so on, I could still walk into the presence of God because my faith was not in my goodness, but my faith was not in works. My faith was in the blood of Jesus that covered me. It was not the sin that was gone. It was the covering that stood between me and God. So the blood brings me into the presence. Now, I want you to understand that, because what I'm about to say is so exciting, if that's true, is that you don't go into the presence of God without sin. You go with sin. Now, if I didn't have sin, then I would need no faith. If I was pure, if I really had pure thoughts and pure emotions and a pure will, then I would need no faith. I could walk into God and say, on my own rights, God, not only do I have a pure heart, but I have a pure soul, and maybe or not a pure body, but I'm pure. I could go right in like that. I wouldn't need any faith then for my soul. But God says without faith it's impossible to please him. But when I've got sin on me, when I've got sin in me, when I feel it, know it, I've got to have the blood. Now, that's what God wants. So if I don't have sin, I don't need blood, and I won't have faith. So sin and blood and faith all go together, and don't you ever dare go into the presence of God without sin and blood and faith. Don't say, well, I'm going to clean up one of these days and all I'll need is faith and blood. What's the blood for but to cover sin? If you don't have any sin, you don't need any blood. You will never arrive in this life at a place where you're so spiritual that you don't need the blood. And believe me, the blood covers everything, every thought you'll ever have, good and bad. Sometimes you have the horriblest thoughts. I'm guessing, am I not? I mean, I don't know what you're... it's a good guess. You have the most despicable, rotten thoughts, and you're embarrassed by those. You wish they would go away. You think that in that moment you cannot worship God as much as you did 5 minutes ago, or as much as Pastor seems to be doing. You are wrong. You are wrong. You are wrong. Because the blood speaks so well of you. The blood, that's what the blood's for. All you got to do is say, devil, shut up. This sin that you're pointing out, I'll just cover that with the blood. And I'm going to go and worship God with all my heart and all my soul. I don't care what thoughts I have. They're blood-covered thoughts. Even if they're wicked, even if they're ugly, I trust in the blood. And that pleases God, that you've come to Him not in fact, but in faith. You have not come to Him with pure thoughts. You've come to Him with impure thoughts, but you've covered Him with the blood, and you've said, God, You know me, like the guy that beat his breast in the temple, you remember? And not the other guy that said, oh, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like that other miserable offender. You know, hey, we're all miserable offenders if we're talking about our soul, not our heart. I'm not talking about our heart, because the blood does change your heart. The blood changes your heart so beautifully that you have a brand new heart, pure, absolute, clean, won't be improved ever. That's the real you. But you still have a soul that will never in this life ever be pure all the time. Now, from time to time, it's just pure. From time to time, you feel pure. From time to time, your thoughts are clear. From time to time, your desires are pure. I've experienced that. I know that's possible. I will tell you now how to get that. I will tell you how to get that, because that's a neat thing to be able to enjoy that, but do not rely on it. I'll tell you how to get that. The way you get that is by taking the blood, putting it on the sin, walking into the presence of God. It's the presence of God that changes. The blood does not change, the presence changes. When you go into God's presence with the holiness of the blood, but not the sin gone, just covered, just atoned for, you go in with your sin, but you put with the sin the blood. You just tie them together. You put your faith in the blood, and you put it together with your sin. Now, don't go in without sin. Some of you are trying to get in, I can tell. You want to get in without sin. Keep your sin. Make sure you got some sin. See if I got any sin? Can't go in without sin. Ah, got some. Good. Go in with sin, because then you're being real. Go into God's presence, and God's presence, God's glorious presence, when you have faith, when you're covered with blood, when there's sin in you, will change your life. That's how you get rid of cigarettes, alcohol, fear, lust, envy, pride, jealousy. Don't go into God's presence cleaned up. Go into God's presence as you are, covered with the blood, faith in the blood, and God will change you. Then God will get all the glory. You won't praise yourself and say, you know, I have a lot of willpower. Boy, I used to be so weak, but I'm getting a lot stronger. That's what I thought I was doing. I thought, you know, I am really improving. I bet Peggy even notices. I bet she notices. I've been pretty good these last couple of years, have I not? Now, I've had a few slips, and you've reminded me when I've slipped, yeah? But, you see, it's not like that. The beautiful thing is, no matter how many times I slip, if I fall seven times, the blood will cover. Now, do you see what boldness that gives me? There is no sin in all... Oh, this is exciting to me. There is no sin in all the world the devil can point out to me, or my flesh can point out, or my wife can point out, or the world can point out, or Christian saints can point out. There is no sin in all the world that you can capture me in, because I don't care. I have no more, it said in Hebrews here, no more conscience of sin. Do you have a consciousness of sin? Now look, that doesn't mean you're not aware of sin. It just means you don't have a conscience over it because you put the blood on it. So you cannot get me under guilt, because blood removes guilt. Under condemnation, because blood removes condemnation. Even if I feel guilty, I'm not guilty. I am never guilty. There is no more sin that can condemn. Where is it? Now, I'm talking as one who's standing in the presence of God. I'm not talking as a sinner. I'm talking as one who's standing in the presence of God, and whosoever will may come. Covered with the blood, with my faith in that blood, I don't need a rope. There's no veil. I can go right into the presence of God, touch the railing. I did it. No lightning. no anger, no wrath. God has no wrath for His children. I am His beloved child. Why? Because I've got the blood. Because I trust in the blood. Because I believe in the blood. Do you have doubts? Sure. Do you have sins? Sure. But I cover those doubts. I cover those sins. I cover everything with the blood. I sprinkle it all over. I'm like that high priest. I want to get it on everything. I want to shower myself with blood. Because then God, listen, this pleases God. And this is the beginning. The blood only gets you in. Once you're in, you don't go back out. Now, the high priest came back out. After the high priest went in behind the curtain, this was one day only, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Then he came back out and he showed to everybody, and everybody let up a festal shout saying, "Praise God, hallelujah, our sins are forgiven for another few minutes." And then the next day, on Monday, you know, so to speak, their Sunday, they would have to start all over again with bulls and goats and pigeons and, you know, all that stuff. More blood, more blood, more blood, more blood. Blood was to cover blood. All the things that they had done to sin, you have to cover it with blood, because without blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Without blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. So they had to have blood, 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 blood. And you read how much blood flowed in the Old Testament. Woo! That was a bloody God. You understand? Now, once for all, it's done forever for anybody, not just Jews, not just Catholics, not just Lutherans, not just Methodists, not just good guys. Anybody can come if they believe in the blood of Jesus, stand in the very presence of God. I don't care if you've been a Jehovah's Witness, if you've been a witch, if you've been a homosexual, if you've been a murderer, if you cover yourself with the blood, you can come into the presence of God. And stand there and do not leave. Now the high priest had to leave. After he had been in there and sprinkled, he had to walk out again and live among the people. We never leave the presence of God, because this blood was once for all, and Jesus sat down. And where are we? We are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And where is He? He's in the Holy of Holies. And He sat down. He's not getting up. He's not getting up. He's going to stay there. I tell you this, we don't come to church to get glorified. We don't come to church to get changes. We are the Holy of Holies walking around, because God is with us, because we're hidden under the blood. The blood is covering us, and we don't even notice how much sin we've got. We don't even measure it. We're not even conscious of it anymore. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, we're aware of it, but we don't look at it. We just got our eyes fixed on the Beloved, because we're in His presence, and that's what the blood does, is bring you into the presence, and the presence of God changes you and keeps you. And as it's keeping you and holding you, and you're abiding in His presence, and the devil's trying to steal you away and say, "Get away, get away, get away, get away. Come back. You don't belong there. You don't belong there. Get back. You've fallen down. You've fallen down. Now you failed. You failed. What are you doing there? Get back." We just say, "Nothing." Because the blood covers. I don't even listen. I don't care what you say, devil. I don't care what you say, flesh. I don't care what you say, world. God has said one thing: I accept you. You are perfect. You are acceptable because of the blood. Now then, the sign, the guarantee that that's true. You can't just say that in words, say, "Because of the blood of Jesus, I'm okay." You can't just say that in words. The sign that that's true is a changed life. Now listen to me carefully. The new commandment is not only that ye believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but that ye love the brethren. That you cannot say, "I'm a Christian and I hate my brother." You will learn to love the brethren. Now, you'll have to go into the presence of God often and say, "God, I did not love my brother." Go in as you are. But then what changes you? You can't change you. You can't say, "I'm going to love Dave. He's not very lovable, but I'm going to do my best." How can you love someone that's not lovable? You see? It's easy. Real easy. Because God has given me a new heart. And God loves David as he is. And God sees David, even if David doesn't see David. God sees David through the blood. Now, all men have not bought this. And if they don't buy it, it's critical. If they don't buy it, it's critical. It's going to cost them their life not to believe this. But God isn't going to say, "If you believe, I'll give you the blood." He's already given the blood. He's already covered. But they don't believe it. They don't trust in it. They trust in their works. They trust in their own thoughts. They trust in their emotions. They trust in psychology. They trust in themselves. They don't trust in the blood of Jesus. They trust in something else. Oh, believe it. So God, that God that lives in me, that Holy of Holies, glorified, majestic, wonderful, glorious God, changes me, and I am able to love David. Whether he's a sinner or a saint, whether he's up today or down today, whether he's mean toward me or nice toward me, whether he's a phony or genuine, whether he's fat or skinny, rich or poor, it doesn't make any difference whatsoever. I'm made of love. Now, how did I get that? First of all, new heart. But second of all, by standing and abiding in the presence of God, it's the presence of God that changed me, not the blood. The blood let me stay there. The blood brought me there into his presence so I could stay and remain. Otherwise, I would have been killed on the spot and they'd have had to pull me out. But you can't pull me out. I'm tied to the rock. The ark is not going to get me because the ark is my salvation. Jesus, who was holy, has now become my holiness. Jesus, who was pure, has now become my purity. Jesus, who was wise, has become my wisdom. There is no wisdom apart from me. There is no purity apart from me. I have been, by the blood of Jesus and my faith in it, incorporated into the very nature of God. I am the Holy of Holies. Do you understand that? I am the Ark of God. Now, I'm not it, but I'm so much a part of it that you might as well say I'm it. When you find me, you've found God. When you see me, you've seen God. When you touch me, you've touched God. You understand what I'm saying is I'm not God. I'm not the Ark. I'm not the Holy of Holies, but it's so intimate you can't tell the difference. The armor covers so well, as far as you're concerned, there's no distinction. Now, the way it changes its looks, because you want to not only be forgiven for your sins, you want to get rid of them, don't you? Yeah, once you fall in love with Jesus, you want to be like him. Here you are looking into the pure Jesus and you want to be like him. That's what changes you. Looking at Jesus' purity changes you. The blood covers, it doesn't remove. It removes sin in this sense only, that it removes guilt and gives you a new heart. But it doesn't remove sin in your soul or in your life. You still sin in your soul and in your life, but the presence of God, which the blood brings you into, changes that so that you really do love the brethren. You really do worship God and minister unto the Lord. You really are able to do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. But what does that? Not prayer, not discipline. Oh God, make me more pure. Won't do it. Oh God, I'm getting up at 5. I hope this will do it. It won't do it. God, I've been to church 3 times this week. I've done everything you've told me to do. That won't do it. There's only one thing that'll do it, and most Christians do not know this. Stand and bask yourself, enjoy yourself in the presence of Almighty God with the blood, with the blood, with the blood, and God will do it all. If I'm telling the truth, you know. If I'm not, you will know. I tell you, go into the presence of God with your sin today. Nothing's keeping you. You can worship God with all your heart. I don't care how you feel on the inside or what your thoughts are or how you're bogged down. Just put blood over it. Go on in and say, God, I'm acceptable to you. I'm pleasant in your sight. I am the joy for you. I am your inheritance. You love me. You've accepted me in the blood. Praise God. We're one. And God will say, amen. Amen. He won't say, what are you doing here? What? Clean up. He won't say that. He won't. You better go home first. You better go through discipleship class first. You know, you need something. You don't need anything. You got the blood. You got it all. The blood brings you in. The presence changes you. The glory of God changes you. Beholding his face as in a mirror, we are changed from one degree of glory to another. And I tell you, that's what's changed my life. Everything in my life that's been changed, I have not done any of it. I'm exactly the same as I always was. I'm only more aware of my sin than I was before. But I know one thing else that's bigger and more important than that. I don't even bother with that anymore. I don't even note it anymore. I used to take copious notes on that. Ooh, how terrible I am. But then I just need a little more blood. And I found out I needed all the blood I could get. The more I got before God and the light of God shone on me, there was nothing good in me. And I could confess that very honestly, honestly. God, there is no good in me. And God said, take the blood. Apply the blood to the lintel. Put the blood, sprinkle the blood on yourself. Your house is okay. You're safe. You're acceptable. Moreover, because you have the blood, I will now give you my spirit. I will now give you my holiness. I will give you my nature. And you will conquer. And the devil will not only not be able to resist you, but you will knock down his strongholds. You will take away all his goods. And by the time you get done with this world, Jesus is not going to come. I know he's not going to come because we're not done. The bride that he'd get today would be hair and curlers and straggly. He's going to have a beautiful bride. We haven't yet done what we are to do. We certainly haven't saved enough, but I mean more than that. I mean, we're going to take this world. Amen. Do you understand?
Yes.
And the world will not stop us because they don't have gates strong enough to stop us. You probably don't know what I'm talking about, but we're going. And it's by the blood and by the Spirit of God. They don't know about the blood. We've got good news for them. Blood will cover anything you've got. Your goodness and your badness, because it's all bad. And the blood covers. And it just gives you immediate access, boldness of access into the presence of God. You've got it. Don't ever let it go. Don't let anyone steal that from you. Don't let anyone take that from you. You have the dam, the blood. You have that, and the devil can't stop you. I'm covered. Let's cover ourselves right now. I'm covered. There's no way. I'm just going to sprinkle myself all over. Every thought, let's sprinkle our thoughts. Every rotten thought, it's gone. It's gone. Now, it's not removed. It's not removed, but it's gone, isn't it? Its power is gone. First of all, there's no guilt for it. I don't feel guilty for my thoughts. Let's say it. Keep it up. Come on, keep sprinkling. It won't hurt you. All right. Now, my emotions. I don't feel guilty over all of my unhappy, miserable emotions. Come on, Bob, sprinkle yourself. Susan, come on. Didn't want to sprinkle. My desires. I don't feel guilty for any of my desires.
I don't feel guilty for any of my desires.
The guilt is removed.
I am pure in God's sight.
The blood has done it.
I have faith in the blood.
I'm clean. Now it's not gone. I still feel the feelings. I still think the thoughts. I still desire the desires. But I'm covering them. And I'm clean. And now the presence of God, which cannot leave me, can never go away. Thy salvation cannot leave me. Because I've got the blood. Come on, keep sprinkling. You're wearing down. Will change me from one degree of glory to another. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, Father God, we thank you. We love you. We adore you. We worship you. Father God, we know that we are acceptable. It's getting so good, it's hard to believe it. It must be wrong. It's too good. It has to be a mistake. If we hadn't found it in your word, Lord God, we wouldn't believe it. It seems too good to be true. But that's what the Hebrews was written for. That's why Galatians was written. That's why Paul wrote Romans. That's why Jesus blew everybody's mind. That's why Jeremiah 31 was written, to say there's a new covenant. And it's a blood covenant. And God has done it all. How could I do anything? I can only enter into what's already been done. And what God does is perfect. What God does is finished. What God does is full of rest, and I'm resting. I'm sitting down. I'm sitting down with Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I love you. We love you. You love us. Nothing can separate. Nothing can separate. Nothing can separate us. Not all the thoughts, not all the feelings, not all the emotions, not all the desires, not all the behavior, not all the acts. Not all the world can separate us from the blood. The blood has separated us unto thee. We are separated, made holy, sanctified unto thee forever, forever. Pleasing, well-pleasing in thy sight. Oh God, we just love you so much. We expect things to happen this morning. We believe right now, Lord God, that you are doing miracles in our midst. We don't believe in just word. We believe that the word becomes flesh. We don't believe in just preaching. We believe that the one who is preached, even the Lord God, is in our midst through the blood. We believe the presence of God is here and the glory of God to heal, to make whole, to make happy. We believe that our faith is not in our faith, but in the blood. Our faith is in your faithfulness, that you have kept the covenant, that you have not lied to us. Oh, Lord God, I thought it was... And we thank you that the blood covers all unbelief. And we thank you that we stand now in the presence of God, which is changing right now this people. We are being changed right now from one degree of glory to another. We just can't help it. Those that are covered with the blood are just being changed. They're being made holy. You cannot walk out of this building today and leave the glory behind. You've got it. You're taking it with you. It's going to change you, your family, your work, your neighborhood, your world. God, I commission at this very hour this people who are going forth to share the good news of the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness, the mercy in the blood of Jesus, in a way like they've never shared before. Not only with words, but with their lives. Free, sweet, enjoyable, and changed. Because if the blood has come, and if it's covered, and if we've taken it, Lord God, then the presence is with us. And no man can dwell in the presence of God and not be changed. No man can dwell in the presence of God and remain impure. We are being purified in a glorious and wonderful way.